بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Yesterday's hadith we read about the sacrifice of the people for one another to the point that they gave their life. In Ruh al-Bayan there's an interesting incident mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, quoted by Umar radiallahu anhu, he says that all times in my ummah there will be 500 chosen servants and 40 abdals, pious ones, totally devoted to Allah. When any one of these passes away, then immediately he is succeeded by another. Special servants of Allah who have got no work but to make the ibadat of Allah. So the Sahaba inquired, what are the exclusive deeds of these people? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, they overlook the injustices of the transgressors, they show kindness to those who ill-treat them, and from the sustenance provided for them by Allah, they engender sympathy and graciousness. In another hadith, it is stated that whosoever feeds the hungry, clothes the naked, and grants shelter to the traveler, Allah shall save him from the terrors of Qiyamah. Yahya Barmaki used to grant Imam Sufyan Thawri 1,000 dirhams every month, whereupon Imam Sufyan used to prostrate himself before Allah, making dua, O Allah, Yahya has sufficiently seen to my worldly needs. You see through your grace and mercy to the necessities of his hereafter. After the death of Yahya, some people saw him in their dreams, and in inquiring as to how Allah had treated him, he said, through the prayers of Sufyan, I have been forgiven by Allah. Further, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the virtue of feeding a fasting person at the time of breaking fast. In one hadith, it is reported that upon him who feeds a person to break the fast out of his halal earnings, the angels make dua of mercy on him during the nights of Ramadan. And on Laylatul Qadr, Jibreel alayhi salam shakes hands with him. Subhanallah. The signs of this is that his heart becomes soft while tears flow from his eyes. Hammad ibn Salma, a very famous muhaddith, used to feed 50 people every day during Ramadan at iftar. So it's a very great virtue of feeding people at iftar. And I was told by our office the other day that I must make an announcement, which I forgot to make, but now I just remembered it, that every year, alhamdulillah, we feed people in Nazareth as well as in Mshluzi, iftar time, we give them a full meal. So if anybody wants to donate towards that, you can please pass your money on to the office or to myself, inshallah, it will be put into the fund. And it isn't a very big amount for the whole month, so we can have a cut-off date once our amount, our target is reached. So anybody wants to get these rewards here, سبحان الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها فلما تغشاها حملت حملا خفيفا فمرت به فلما أثقلت دعوا الله ربهما لئن آتيتنا صالحا لنكونن من الشاكرين. In this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention about a very important aspect regarding one is how a child is born and the helplessness of human beings and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in bringing about this child through the various stages of reproduction and how only Allah ta'ala is in charge. No one can do anything. When the child is in the womb of the mother, when the child is conceived, at that time nobody even knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is the one who has created you from one soul, and from that soul then he created the spouse. So he created Adam alayhi salam, right, as one whole human being. Then from the rib of Adam alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala created Hawa alayhi salatu wasalam. And from there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says then whole of human beings spread. So, and the reason for this is لَيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا, that the man may acquire gratification, peace of mind and contentment of heart with his wife, by his wife. So I hope the wives are listening, they mustn't give trouble to the husbands, they must give them peace of mind. they must be good to us. So that is what is the object of getting them together. And after that, obviously, it's procreation. They don't just get together and have honeymoon and romance for the rest of their life. No, then procreation starts, then the woman becomes pregnant, then all the other responsibilities come about and families start developing. So from that point, Allah says, فَلَمَّا تَغَشَّاهَا, now when he enjoys, intimacy with her, then she becomes pregnant. حَمَلَتْ حَمْلًا خَفِيفًا. Initially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that she carries very, very lightly. A woman does not even know sometimes that she's pregnant in the early stages. Then she might start feeling some kind of, you know, discomfort within or whatever they feel. And then they start feeling maybe their menstrual cycles have now become irregular or ceased. Then afterwards they go and do their test in this day and age. But in those days there was no test and pregnancy tests and all those things. After a while it used to be seen that now this woman is now carrying big. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا أَثْقَلَتْ دَعَوَ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُمَا. Now when she becomes heavily impregnated, now you can see this woman is pregnant. Now the talk is between husband and wife, within the family, you know what she's expecting. Then all the excitement also comes about. But there is a certain degree, sometimes a great degree, of apprehension in the sense that, you know, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a child that is totally normal and healthy and all the rest of that. And we know what du'as are made at that time. Everyone goes through this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention about this. And this shows the helplessness of human beings at this juncture. No one can do anything. What is happening in the womb at that time, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows at that time what is happening. If something is happening, if it's happening normally, it is alhamdulillah, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is an abnormality or a deformation, that also is only the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in this day and age, sometimes through the, you know, advancement of technology, and that they do pick up certain things, like when the child is cleft, if the child can be picked up, they can actually pick up in the pregnancy. Our experience was that the child is cleft, you know, cleft lip and cleft palate, they can pick up. Sometimes certain other things, they may pick it up, that there is a deformity. But generally, no, they can't. And even if it is there, what are you going to do about it? You can't tell Allah Ta'ala, you know, send a malaika back and send this baby up and, you know, repair job and send back. No, you just have to wait and make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, دَعَوَ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُمَا لَيْنْ آتَيْتَنَا صَالِحًا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Oh Allah, if you give us this baby that is sound, that is a normal, yes, صالح doesn't mean pious, it means salim, it means, you know, sound, proper, normal, healthy. لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Oh Allah, we will be from among those people who make shukr to you. We will thank you. And that is the helplessness of man at that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, then we see the baby is born. And then the baby is born normal, which is in most cases, فَلَمَّا أَتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا. Allah said, when you give both of them the child that is now sound, جَعَلَا لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِيمَا أَتَاهُمَا. Then Allah ta'ala says, now they start making all kinds of shirk in this child that we have given them. The child was born totally normal. Child was born healthy, and also we must remember children are born on the fitrah, that means on the pure deen of Islam in terms of their belief also. They are born with the pure oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he said if a baby is born, and not exposed to any human influences, and is just fed and given the basic things, and this child will grow up without any influence, without anybody talking, nobody saying anything in front of this child, basically isolated, we mustn't do a thing like that. They say, then this child will grow up automatically the most muwahid, that means the greatest believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we start doing all funny kinds of things with the child. All funny kinds of things we start doing to protect the child, you know. To protect the child, alhamdulillah, we must read our ayatul kursi and we must blow on the child. Even if you put a little taweez on, it's not a problem as long as the Quranic ayats. But some people, they start doing shirk. They start doing all funny kinds of things. Some people, they resort to, you know, Hindu customs, for example. You know, that black beads, or I don't know what color beads they put. Huh? And sometimes the beads break, you know. Now we ask, why you put these beads in the first place? You know, it's anti-nazar. Nazar proofed. Baby is now nazar proofed. That's not an Islamic thing. That came from India. Our forefathers brought it from somebody there in India. That is not a Muslim custom. You don't have to do all those things. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us how to protect our children. He read on Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, the four quls, ayatul kursi, a'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. Now one day the bead broke on one child's. So the mother said the nazar was so heavy that the beads just broke. It broke because it had to break. The whatever happened, it had to break. So it was cheap stuff they put on, who knows. So that is not what we are supposed to do. That is the one thing. Then our discussion around the child, when the child is growing also. The child is given all these funny kinds of thoughts and things, you know, and the child's focus and pure attention is moved away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the child is now made to believe that your father is your sustainer, your mother is your sustainer, and your job is your sustainer, and your salary is your sustainer, and child grows up. So what we say, Allah, so you're putting all kinds of, you know, shirky beliefs and all kinds of wrong aqidah in front of the child. We must teach your children from small. Allah is the provider. Allah is the one who is with you. Allah is the one who is watching you. Allah is the one who is taking care of you. Allah is the one who will make sure nothing happens to you. So if the child grows up with that continuously, now there's a lot of mums going on in the school. So when the child comes back, I say, yeah, so where were the mums from? In this past week, two or three times. Say, she gave it to me. He gave it to me. I say, who gives sickness? Then Allah gives sickness. So we must teach the child that no one gave you mumps. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that. Mumps comes from Allah, bimari comes from Allah, and shifa also comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah ta'ala is saying that this is what the people do. They start making all kinds of shirk with regard to the child. So the child was given to you, mashallah, whole, handsome, healthy, normal, everything. But now you start corrupting the child, and then you take the child to another level of, you know, shirk. The child becomes a mushrik later in life. His belief and his aqidah also goes all wrong. لَإِنْ آتِيْتَنَا صَالِحًا لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا جَعَلَ لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. And this, my respected friends and brothers, we must keep in mind that when Allah has given us one, we make shukr, mashallah, the child is born, and then from that age, we must make sure that we live for that child's akhirat. We live for that child's akhirat. In other words, we must do and say things in such a manner that the child starts seeing his object in life, his purpose in life, as something about, you know, connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as his akhirat. You know, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, and we'll conclude on this. He was on his deathbed, and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to meet him. He was in his last illness, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu came to meet him. So Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu asked him, what's wrong with you? What's happening? Like, you know, you go visit a sick person, what's happening? Why are you sick? So he says, my sickness is because of my sons. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is saying, if you know Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is nowadays in Radio Islam, early in the morning when Sulaiman Rawat is doing a profile, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. What a great sahabi. He was one of the ulama of that time, in time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised his Quran reading. Nevertheless, he says, my sons are because they're sick. My sons have made me sick. So Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala asked him, so what do you want? What do you hope for your sickness? Like, you're so sick, what can we do for you? He says, Arju rahmata rabbi. He says, I only want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if it's another person, he says, I need to go to the hospital. I need this test. I need that x-ray. He says, no, I need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another person says, I need to go see that doctor. I need to go see that specialist. He says, I need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala says, so can I get a physician? So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala carried on going now on the discussion of, you know what, normally, sickness and doctors and medicine and that. Must I get a physician for you? So he replied that the physicians are the ones who brought me in this condition with their wrong, whatever it is, diagnosis and so forth. So Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu said, can I get you some expenses, money to pay for you? He says, no, my expenses are all taken care of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu says, but you know what? Use it for yourself. If anything is left over, if something happens to you, your daughters can use it. You say, no, 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 I don't want for my daughters. I have taught my daughters that if you read Surah Waqia every day, never ever will you face poverty. I don't want anything for my daughters, subhanAllah. How many of us have taught this to our children? This is something we must teach to our children and make them read it every day. Teach them Surah Waqia, teach them Surah Al-Flamim, Sajda, every day read it. This is a guaranteed formula from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is rejecting and refusing to take help from Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, who was the third Khalifa, and the Khalifa would have really given him a good amount of money to spend. But he says, no, I don't need all of that. My daughters know that they must read Surah Waqia. So what we are saying is, that is the kind of upbringing we must give our children. Connect them up to Allah, connect them up to the ahadith, connect them up to the surahs, connect them up to the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came and taught us these things because he was sent by Allah to teach.